What about the hypocrites in the church? We're dealing with a new series here, answering skeptics. What about the hypocrites in church? I would never become a Christian. Look at all the hypocrites in the church. Look at all the scandals of the televangelists, the health and wealth preachers, the name it and claim it and frame it, hyper-faith prosperity preachers, two-faced frauds and conmen. I don't want to be part of hypocrisy. Have you heard those kind of sentiments on the streets? Well, when you put feet on the streets and put your boots on the ground, you will come across those kind of reactions. How do we respond? Well, first of all, the fact is God is far more offended by hypocrisy than you are. The Bible contains the greatest condemnations of hypocrisy ever recorded. The Apostle Paul wrote about false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ, and no wonder. For Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. Paul also wrote in Galatians 2, verse 4, false brethren secretly brought in. The Apostle Peter taught that we to lay aside all malice and deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. The writer of the book of Hebrews exhorts us to draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having a heart sprinkled from an evil conscience. So the question is, are you attending a false church or a truth church? The reason I can tell is, what's the position of the Bible? If they question the Bible, they're false. If they hold to the Bible as the inerrant word of God, then they're on the watershed of truth. Because if you think of water falling on the Drakensberg Mountains, the Dragon Mountains, that's a watershed. It's a high point. Now, if the water falls just 1 foot on the east side of the Drakensberg, it'll end up in the Tugela River and in the Indian Ocean, ultimately. If it falls just a foot to the other side, to the west, it'll end up in the Orange River and end up in the Atlantic. Now, at first you may think, what difference does it make where you land on this huge Drakensberg mountain range? But it's a watershed. And just the difference of a few inches or feet can make the difference whether you end up in the warm Indian Ocean or the cold Atlantic Ocean. You can be oceans and hemispheres apart later. So where a person stands on something like the inerrancy of Scripture, the authority of Scripture, the deity of Christ, the Trinity, the atonement is the only way of salvation. These are watershed issues on which everything will depend later. If a person will fall on the other side of inerrancy, questioning the authority of the Bible, they will probably end up on the pro-choice side, the evolution side, the billions of years. There's a whole package of things that result if you don't take the Bible as the Word of God. But if you take the Bible as inerrant, authoritative Word of God, you will inevitably end up in positions of pro-life, pro-family, marriage between one man, one woman for life, you know, things like that, basic principles which are all up and being targeted today. There's a whole seminar produced by Justin Peters on Call for Discernment. Very worthwhile, 5 hours conference. We've hosted him here at this mission. He's given these conferences all around South Africa. I've shared platform with him up in America and Texas. And Justin Peters goes very well through documenting where the Word of Faith movement stands on many of these strange issues. But there are other scandals that hit the headlines. Child sex abuse in the churches. Church allowed abuse by priests for years. Church routinely covered up child sexual abuse for 30 years. Abuse victim challenges the church. Notice the word the church. Now, what church are they talking about here? The Roman Catholic Church. I would use the word Catholic and Roman with a capital and church with a small c, inverted commas, in italics. But for the Jesuits, a long road to accountability. The sex scandals tolerated and covered up for so many years within Roman Catholic institutions are indeed terrible scandals. However, there's an even bigger scandal behind it that the media doesn't always want to point at. Father Edwin Pelker, a Roman Catholic parish priest in Tampa, Florida, wrote, "There is a gay mafia at work within Roman Catholicism to punish, humiliate, and blackmail decent God-fearing priests. If they threaten to blow the whistle on the endemic cycle of abuse within the Roman Catholic cycle, they will be targeted. Many people still do not understand just how evil the activist homosexual priests and bishops are. They cannot possibly grasp the hellish depths to which these clergy will go to persecute, lambaste, punish, humiliate, and blackmail anyone who stands in the way or threatens their way of life. Father Edwin Pelker writes that the gay mafia, his words, is trying to carry out a reign of terror on good priests to teach the truth about homosexuality. An associate professor of religious studies at John Carroll University warned that in the United States, in the Roman Catholic churches, the percentage of priests who are homosexual could be as high as 50%. That would be roughly 16 times more than the percentage of gay men in the general population. Why have so many homosexuals ended up in the Catholic Church? In fact, you've got to go back to the first Comintern, the Communist International, back in the 1920s. In the early 1920s, the communists determined to infiltrate the church. It was a high priority, and the first church they infiltrated successfully was the Methodist Church. But the second was the Roman Catholic. And the big problem was, how do you get people to infiltrate a church where the priests are expected to be celibate for life? Well, the communists recruited their infiltrators from the homosexual lobby, who wouldn't care less that they don't get married, at least not to women anyway. And so they ended up recruiting and putting in over 2,000 communist infiltrators into Catholic Church in the 1920s and 30s. And they seized control of all the levers of power, because they had a lot of power behind them. They were very deliberate. They weren't wasting their time on parish activities. They were aiming to get into the levers of power. And so denomination by denomination has been infiltrated by the communists. Now, to the communists, this is a win-win. Neutralize the Catholic Church and humiliate the church in general by scandals. Church scandals, which are really actually a homosexual scandal, but they've made it into a church scandal. How clever is that? Just to understand, because we don't work this way, but the hierarchy of the Roman Catholic churches, at the bottom you've got the people, laity. Yeah. Shut up, come forward, kneel down, open your mouth, put the wafer in. Deacons, they age for the priests for mass, then you get the priests, they service one parish. Then you get the bishops who preside over a diocese, which is many parishes. Then you get archbishops who have several dioceses. And then you get the cardinals, 193 worldwide at that time, more now. And then you get the Bishop of Rome, who's called Papa the Pope. That's the hierarchy, very hierarchical. So the priests aren't very important, but the archbishops and cardinals, they have power. Father Darius Eko, in his 2013 essay on clerical homosexuality, wrote, "With the Pope against homo heresy." Now remember, the Pope in 2013 was Pope Benedict, who was against homosexuality. The present Pope Francis is for it. So you've just got to understand the context. At this moment, he had the Pope behind him. Not anymore. And now he's got the Pope against him. He reported that homosexual priests and bishops have abused seminarians, that's people who go to seminary, teenagers and children, and that there's a gay mafia at work within Catholicism protecting these predators. And again, that's their term, gay mafia. In an interview with LifeSite News, he reported about 30 to 40% of priests and 40 to 50% of bishops in the United States have homosexual inclinations. Pelker reports that the gay mafia's power over future priests begins in seminary. Because students enroll with the intention of being trained to be priests are required to provide a great deal of personal details, including the history with chastity, sexual activity, criminal activity, fears, dreams, hopes, concerns. And the longer the student stays in seminary, the thicker the file grows, especially as they've got to have weekly confession. It continues to grow after his ordination, and as the highly centralized Catholic hierarchy maintains files on each of their priests and members, it could only be rivaled by the KGB and the old Soviet Union. Much of this information is in the hands of the KGB and the Pink Inquisition, who often abuse the confidential information for nefarious purposes. Pelker lays out various real-life scenarios, such as, and these were actual cases, but to protect individuals, he's just giving you a general scenario that happens frequently. A priest struggles with his own homosexual inclinations. He wants to remain chaste. He lives out his vows of chastity, but he can be manipulated by homosexual bishops who set him up to fail. Suppose the priest's file reveals that as a teen he was sexually abused by an adult male. As a result of this formative abuse, he struggles with homosexual desires as an adolescent and into his early childhood, but he always remains chaste. Once ordained as a priest, he spoke out fervently against the acceptance or promotion or legalization of homosexual activity and, of course, other sins. His homosexually activist bishop, knowing his past, makes him a Boy Scout chaplain, where he'll be working closely with the bishop's hand-picked, openly active homosexual lay diocesan scout leaders, hoping and encouraging him to finally fail and fall to his boyhood desires and abuse, giving him to homosexual desires to sexually abuse one or more of the scouts. And then they've got him. Then they can blackmail him and use him. It's not just homosexual priests who can be manipulated in this way. A heterosexual priest who has been sexually active before being ordained, who dares to speak out against homosexuality, could be similarly assigned to be chaplain of a girls' high school in the hope that he would succumb to temptation. Pelker writes that the gay mafia are not above exploiting the seal of the confessional to threaten and manipulate decent priests into silence, and even to pick up other priests to commit homosexual acts with them, just like the Russian KGB had the swallows sparrows. They would be specifically designed to sexually entrap, what they called set up honey traps. The Catholic Church has done this thousands of times. Those of you who don't know, I went to Catholic school, so I know these things. You know, priest on one side, you go the other one. You kneel down there once a week. Forgive me, Father, for I've sinned, and it's been a week since my last confession. In fact, my first confessional, I didn't know what to confess because I was such a goody-goody. I couldn't think of one thing I'd done wrong. My first confessional was a lie. I used the same things that they taught me what sort of things do we confess? Well, like if you've stolen money out of your mother's purse. I'd never even dream of doing that, and never stole money out of my mother's purse. But, so my first confession was I stole money out of my mother's purse. It was a complete lie.
But you had to repent of that.
Exactly. Well, at least I had something real to confess the next time, you see. So this is how it works. Say 1,000 Hail Marys and walk up and down the stairs on your knees, that sort of thing. Now, still quoting, these men know the way the church works, and they use that knowledge for their own evil ends. They've embraced evil. There's a huge difference between a weak man striving for holiness and a man who sold his soul to the devil. There were some accusations of molestation by Catholic priests dating back to the 1950s, and significant media attention began to pick up these scandals in the 1980s, particularly in the United States and Canada. In 1995, when the Archbishop of Vienna stepped down amidst sexual abuse allegations, the issue began to grow, with stories emerging in Argentina, Austria, Australia, and elsewhere. By the late 1990s, the revelations of widespread historic abuse began in Ireland, hotbed and stronghold of Catholicism. A church commission report in 2004 revealed more than 4,000 Catholic priests in America had faced sexual abuse allegations in the previous 50 years. These cases involved more than 10,000 boys. Now, what's the media reporting? Church scandal, sex scandal. But actually what it is a homosexual scandal. Behind it's actually a communist infiltration scandal. A 2009 report in Ireland found sexual and psychological abuse endemic in Catholic-run schools and orphanages. In June 2018, a former Vatican diplomat was sentenced to 5 years in prison for possessing child pornography. An American grand jury report noted a pattern of homosexual predation in the U.S. Catholic Church, beginning in seminaries, culminating in the College of Cardinals. The grand jury's opening statement, there have been other reports about child sexual abuse within the Catholic Church, but never on this scale. For many of us, those earlier stories happened someplace else. Now we know the truth. It happened everywhere. At least 300 predator priests were named in a grand jury report accused of committing horrific sexual abuse over 7 decades. Takes them right back to when the communists were infiltrating the Catholic Church with homosexual activists who were picked for this very task. The number of the victims estimates at least 1,000. The harrowing 887-page document was a result of a 2-year grand jury investigation to widespread sexual abuse within 6 dioceses of the Catholic Church just in Pennsylvania. In the overwhelming majority of cases, the delinquent clergy were homosexual predators preying on adolescent or young adult males. The victims were frequently older boys or seminarians. For example, Father Mario Catella purchased homosexual pornography for use on church computers. His rectory computer was overflowing with homosexual pornography, which was used to groom young boys and prepare them for abuse. Most of the priests investigated targeted post-pubescent teenage boys, normally between 15 and 17 years. Father Paul Spesak possessed homosexual and sadomasochistic pornography, including images of him and 2 15-year-old boys. Monsignor, that's very high up, and Monsignor's like just below a bishop, archbishop. Carlo Alberto Capella was sent to prison for possessing and distributing child porn. And here's Monsignor William Lynn, former church official jailed for handling of priest sexual abuse complaints emerging from a bail hearing in Philadelphia, results of the grand jury. And this Cardinal Hans Hermann Wilhelm Grew abused an estimated 2,000 boys for decades without official consequences. There are books out here like Altar of Secrets, Sex, Politics, and Money in a Philippine Catholic Church. So this is worldwide. Honduras, 48 seminarians wrote to the bishop protesting a homosexual epidemic in the seminary. Now, notice, at that stage, they could do that. Right now, if you did that sort of thing, you'd be up for hate crime. Because you can't say anything against the homosexuals now. And yet they've been able to do this kind of abuse for decades, and now you're not even allowed to complain, or you could be up for worse than hate crime abuse. You could lose your job, your position, all sorts of things. Not for being a homosexual predator, but for standing up against it. And if you resisted it, you could be targeted for hate crime as well. So you can just see how they've tilted the scales here. In Chile, all 34 bishops were summoned to Rome after revelations of a gay priest sex ring involving bishops and their superiors. All 34 Catholic bishops in Chile offered to resign in the wake of this scandal and cover-up. Theodore McCarrick, retired Cardinal Archbishop of Washington, D.C., I mean, that's in a citadel of power, was forced to step down after seminarians and priests accused him of decades of homosexual predation, being a predator. McCarrick called those under his charge nephews, and they had to call him Uncle Ted. Cardinal Theodore McCarrick is alleged to have sexually abused a minor 47 years ago when a priest, and then they found out that actually he'd been involved in a lot more than that. Pope protected paedophile priests. Fact. The present pope in particular. And the previous two popes also were definitely covering them up. So what do you get for protecting Vatican bishops from child sexual abuse investigations? Sainthood. There are reasons for the sexual scandals. First of all, it's a denial of the Christian faith. All these clerics who are committing these are secret atheists, agnostics or Satanists, in many cases communists, who see the church as a social justice network that pays well and provides a lifestyle of insurance, income, retirement, and unquestioned access to compromised men and vulnerable children. You wonder why they want access to the U.S. Boy Scouts. And they've been campaigning and campaigning and campaigning that homosexuals can be not just scouts, but they can be Boy Scout masters. And they've been fighting for that. Why? Well, I mean, it's obvious. There's a pool of victims. And homosexuality. So you've got communists, atheists, Satanists, everyone who's denied the faith, that's what they've got in there. And you've got a huge bunch of homosexuals. That's the real scandal. It's not a church scandal as much as it's a communist and homosexual scandal. In 2002, the John Jay College of Criminal Justice studied the crisis of priestly sexual abuse in the United States, and it produced this report. 80% of the abuse at issue was of a homosexual nature. Now, you wouldn't normally get that picture in newspapers. Normally, you get the impression that it's, you know, sexual predators, some males preying on vulnerable females. In fact, it was overwhelmingly homosexual. Eminent Catholic author Father Dwight Longnecker noted, the social and sexual problems has theological roots. In treating priests who have engaged in paedophilia, we have observed these men, almost without exception, have suffered from a denial of sin in their lives. Can you be a Christian and deny sin? The Bible says, if we say we're without sin, we lie and we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And yet you can get Catholics writing books like this, How Homosexuals Saved Civilization. See the picture upside down? What it's saving civilization from? It's the classic picture of a married couple owning their own home in America, which is considered anathema. They've saved civilization from the nuclear family, you know, where the father provides and protects and the mother raises children. What a hideous, horrible abomination in their sight. And what they want is a classless, genderless world where basically the state brings up the children. That's the goal. They don't like this nuclear family business because you don't need the state. These abusive priests rejected the church's teaching on sexual immorality and adopted a utilitarian sexual ethic. In other words, pragmatism. Feels good, do it. Above all, the predator priests had come to see their own pleasure as the highest end and to use others, including adolescents as children, as sexual objects. They consistently refused to examine their consciences. If they've got a conscience left, they've seared it by that stage. They've refused to accept the church's teaching on moral issues. Well, how about the Ten Commandments would be a good start. And a guide for their personal actions, or regularly avail themselves of the sacrament of penance. There's no repentance, there's no conviction of sin in their lives. These priests either refuse to seek spiritual direction or choose a spiritual director or confessor who openly rebel against church teachings on sexuality. So when they call this a church scandal, it is a scandal because it's taking place in an institution that calls itself a church. But it's not the church of Christ. It's the false church. You know the difference between the visible church that the world sees and the invisible church, which is the church in God's eyes, the real church. Huge difference between regenerate church membership and formal ritualistic church membership. But what's the end result of all this don't judge, let love win, and so on is, well, these kind of abuses. The sexual abuse crisis in the Catholic hierarchy is a criminal scandal, but it's also got theological roots, make no mistake. Almost 500 years ago, the great German reformer, Professor Martin Luther, warned, I'm much afraid that schools will prove to be wide gates to hell unless they diligently labor in explaining the Holy Scriptures, engraving them in the hearts of youth. I advise no one to place his child where the Scriptures do not reign paramount. What reigns paramount here? Idolatry. Every institution which men are not constantly occupied with the Word of God must become corrupt. He saw it 500 years ago. Of course, the Catholic Church was as corrupt back then too. And that's why there was the Reformation in response. We need a new Reformation Day because the churches have again become as rotten, unbiblical, and corrupt as they were 500 years ago. It is clear that not only does the Roman Catholic Church welcome unregenerate students into the seminaries, but teaching the Scriptures and proclaiming the gospel is hardly any kind of priority for them. In fact, it's questionable whether their seminaries even know what the gospel is. Hence, by failing to engrave the Scriptures in the hearts of their students, they become corrupt. This is the dark history of the Catholic Church. It's not that the church was persecuting people outside the church. It's that pagans had hijacked the church and were using the institution to persecute real Christians, like the Huguenots, the Lollards, the Waldensians, Bible translators. What do you think when you see this? Is this not idolatry? The fact is, when people engage in idolatry, you know what comes next? Adultery. Adultery follows idolatry. Idolatry is the worship of images, and it goes from idolatry to idolatry, where I am the most important. Me, myself, and I becomes the new Trinity. My personal pleasure, joy, peace, and convenience is more important than anything else. Then you can step on other people and use people if you're guilty of idolatry. Catholics often say, no, this isn't idolatry. Well, it looks like it to me. I don't know what you think, but this looks pretty weird to us. Very weird. And I would say this is, you know, John Knox, the reformer, when he was made a galley slave for a Roman Catholic vessel in the French Navy, he was for 18 months rowing like Ben-Hur, battle speed and that sort of thing. And they brought an idol of Mary around, statue for him to kiss, stone statue. He threw it overboard and he said, she's light enough, let alone to swim. And you can imagine that wouldn't have earned him any good points with the people, the whipmaster. But this is Roman Catholicism. It is a rotten, pagan, papist, idolatry system. And then Pope Francis gets invited to speak to the joint sittings of both the upper house, the Senate, and the lower house, the House of Representatives in America. And what does he... Does he give them the Apostles' Creed? No. Does he give them the Nicene Creed or the Lord's Prayer? No. Does he give them Ten Commandments? Nothing like that. Does he give them the Gospel? He doesn't even pray. He came and he spoke to them about global warming, and he rebuked America over trying to build walls to protect themselves when he lives beyond the highest walls any state has on earth. Didn't mention Jesus, did not pray, didn't call people to repentance, did not present the gospel, did not call people to faith in Christ. He spoke like a modern secular humanist, which he is. He spoke like the world's problems could all be solved without Christ because he didn't bother to mention Christ. So this is at his probably one of his most strategic speaking opportunities ever. And if he was a representative of Christ, well, he claims to be the vicar of Christ, his holiness, the mouthpiece of Christ on earth today, the Holy Father. Christ did not die for the Pope to be glorified. He didn't redeem his church with his blood that the Pope could come in and steal the glory. He didn't come from heaven to earth and pour out his heart that he might purchase people, that a poor sinner, mere man, could be set upon earth to be admired by all nations and call himself God's vicar, God's mouthpiece, his holiness, the Holy Father. There's only one head of the church, Solus Christus. Christ alone is the head of the church. Westminster Confession, point 25, verse 6. There is no other head of the church but the Lord Jesus Christ, nor can the Pope of Rome in any sense be head thereof, but is that Antichrist, that man of sin, the son of perdition, that exalts himself in the church against Christ and against all that is called God. This is the foundational statement of the Presbyterian denomination, all Reformed churches, except that the papacy is Antichrist, in the sense that they've always opposed the gospel of Christ, persecuted Bible translators and true Christians through the ages, and he claims to be the mouthpiece of Christ. He claims to be the Holy Father. But Jesus said, don't call anyone good on earth. Don't call anyone Father on earth. You have one Father in heaven. And the only time Holy Father is ever used is when Jesus prayed in John 17, verse 11, in the Garden of Gethsemane to the Holy Father. There's only one Holy Father, and he's not sitting in Rome. And so how can anybody call the Pope his holiness? Jesus said, no one is good except God alone. How can he be Holy Father? And I don't know what you think, but this just looks sickening to me. And these, I would want to say poor people, but the point is, idolatry is sin. And that these people are idolizing a human being on earth like this, it's just disgusting. The homosexual scandal is symptomatic of a civil war raging in the Catholic Church. On the one side are traditionalists who insist that abuse can be prevented by tight adherence to church doctrine. Pope Benedict was an attempt to bring a traditionalist stand in the Catholic Church, and while I am no friend of the Pope or Catholicism ever, I could sympathize that he was trying to fight liberation theology. He is trying to fight a lot of things that are evil. And unfortunately, he got ousted probably by the gay mafia because he was making such a strong stand. And then they brought in a liberation theologian Marxist. I used to have a joke when a person would ask an obvious question, I'd say, is the Pope Catholic? Well, right now, he is not. I mean, Pope Francis is not a Catholic. He's a communist. He's a hardcore Marxist liberation theologian. The first Jesuit Pope, by the way. Those who believe that the Roman Catholic requirement to have celibate priests is what encourages the abuse need to note that the most sexually permissive environment on earth, Hollywood, is awash with even worse scandals. If you think the Roman Catholic Church's scandals are bad, it's nothing compared to Hollywood. Harvey Weinstein has produced no end of ghastly films like Mandela, Long Walk to Freedom, and all that. And these are just some of the women who testified that he raped them. Here's a sexual predator, major predator and producer, produced some of the most vile, disgusting films ever. and good friend of Obama and the Clintons and Harvey Weinstein, all the rest. But then it turns out that it's not just Harvey Weinstein. There's an entire subculture of pedophilia, rape, and abuse throughout the whole of Hollywood, including Bill Cosby, who was the epitome of a good family. What was it, the Bill Cosby Show? And the thing about the Bill Cosby Show that's so extraordinary is there's such a perfect, intact, decent family, but they achieved all their solutions without God, prayer, reference to the Bible or Ten Commandments, anything like that. So here's a secular humanist ideal. And now we've seen it was just a fake fraud exterior. So disgusted as we all should be about fakes and frauds in the church, in the visible church, bear in mind there's much worse. These are some of the low-life sleaze buckets who've been accused of the same kind of pedophilia, rape, and abuse in Hollywood. The Roman Catholic Church has been hijacked by homosexuals. This situation is similar to the anti-Christian Inquisition of the Middle Ages. Contrary to popular perceptions, the Inquisition was not a group of Christians mercilessly persecuting unbelievers. We know from the John Jay report that at least 81% of the victims were males, mostly teens. We know that the subclass of predators are almost all male. This is predominantly a male-on-male crime, primarily with teens between 14 and 70 years old. These are the victims. Brad Milner, senior editor of The Catholic Thing, pointed out that while many cardinals of the Catholic Church are treating this crisis as a public relations problem, it's a problem with criminality. I'd go further. It's a problem with communist infiltration. They don't understand. They've been targeted by serious cywar, by the most professional infiltrators on the planet, the Communist International. Miner pointed out that the homosexual element of the abuse scandal by pointing out that pro-LGBT Jesuit priest and Vatican advisor Father James Martin downplays the problem of abuse in seminaries. James Martin doesn't want to hear it, but it's a homosexual problem. That's what some astute Catholics are saying. Miner points out that the 2005 Vatican document issued under Pope Benedict XVI, who was trying to bring Catholicism back to a moral base and center, prohibited homosexual men to be admitted to the seminary. He saw, Pope Benedict saw, it was a homosexual problem. He's the only pope in history that we know of who's been ousted from the papacy while still alive. He didn't die in office. And it's the gay mafia that managed to do it. However, the same people who continue to put increasing pressure on churches to accept homosexuals for ordination and to legalize homosexual marriages are the same people who scream abuse when many of the very people they've been campaigning for turn out to abuse the young boys entrusted to their care. So this is a heads we win, tails you lose. You know, if you don't accept the homosexuals in your church, you're homosexual bigots. If you do accept them, now you're guilty of child abuse once they're in there. You see, you can't win either way. They've got you. It's a win-win from their perspective, lose-lose from our perspective. That's the way they set it up. It's set up for us to fail. And so they'll campaign to get the homosexuals in church, then they'll scream the church has lost its moral credibility because there's abuse in the church. And this Pope Francis, he's not theologically straight. He says Jesus, Muhammad, Jehovah, Allah, all the same. And he claims the Quran and the Bible are the same. Now, anyone who studied the Quran or the Bible knows that that's unbelievable nonsense. Jesus says God hates divorce. Muhammad makes divorce so easy, it's just you just got to say, I divorce you three times. How simple is that? Jesus says one man, one woman for life. Muhammad says four at a time, plus unlimited amounts of temporary marriages. And, you know, you can sexually abuse and you can rape captives. You can. How on earth can the Quran and the Bible be the same? It's not the same ethics. Muhammad says you can steal and loot as much as you want as long as you give 20% to him. And this, it's fine to enter houses and take what you want and so on and so forth. Behead your enemies. Chop off the hands and feet from opposite sides. Jesus says love your enemies. I mean, how are these two compatible? Therefore God gave them up to uncleanness and to the lust of their hearts and to dishonor their bodies amongst themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie. Romans 1. Miner cites sociologist and clergy abuse expert Richard Sipe, who estimates at least 30% of Catholic priests in America have homosexual orientations, and amongst bishops it could be as high as 50 to 60%. We have to focus on what is the cause of these children, young children, seminarians, continually being abused by predatory priests, and that is what we have to stop. And one of the ways of doing this is disciplining or firing of bishops who've been protecting them for decades. That's obvious, isn't it? This homosexual network that protects and promotes its own is what is causing this continual cycle of abuse in the seminaries, in the rectories, in the sacristies, in the schools. People are justifiably terribly angry that people sat on this information, that no action was taken, that priests were put back into circulation. This is a day of reckoning for the Catholic Church. Now, I've spent quite a bit of time on this because the media makes a big thing of all Christians are hypocrites, church are hypocrites, look at all these scandals and so on. Well, good, let's look at them. And what are the roots? They deny God, they deny the Bible, they deny the Ten Commandments, they violate God's laws. These are not Bible-believing, God-fearing Christians doing this. It's the opposite. And when you understand that it's a secular, humanist, communist, homosexual scandal, that sort of turns attention back to the person who's trying to attack the church to justify the very rebellion that's actually led to these scandals. Gay is welcome. This is Pope Francis. Who am I to judge was one of his answers, sir. And then the thing is, can you do that? And is the Pope Catholic? My question. And the answer now is, no, not anymore. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie. God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural relations with unnatural ones. In the same way, men abandoned natural relations with women that were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. Although they knew God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve wrath, death, they not only continued to do these very things, but they also approved of those who practice them. Romans 1 has got to be one of the least popular passages to preach on. In fact, Pastor Acker Green in Sweden got jailed for preaching on Romans 1. He got jailed for a hate crime. Aristotle said 2,400 years ago, tolerance and apathy are the last virtues of a dying society. True then, true now. Reverend John Wesley said, what one generation tolerates, the next generation will embrace. Well, let me tell you, in my days, I did not even know of the existence of homosexuality. I was 21 before I even knew there was such a thing as a homosexual. I heard some jokes about gays, but I thought that was just, I didn't know there were such people, you know, jokes about I'll stab you with my lipstick and hit you with my handbag and things like this. And you know, you just thought just some effeminate type of men. I had no idea there was actually such a thing as a homosexual. And now the poor kids in preschool are being groomed for this. I didn't have to worry about these things, but now you see your grandchildren are being targeted by these spineless characters. Toleration is a device used to introduce a new law system as a prelude to a new intolerance. Just like we need to tolerate homosexuals. All I want is tolerance. Before you know it, you will go to jail if you won't accept this kind of sensitivity training and, you know, you dare to speak up against. And so forget tolerance. Tolerance is not what they're after. That's just the first step to intolerance. Gay pride is why Sodom got fried. God hates sin. The Bible makes it clear. There are six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord amongst brethren. Proverbs 6 should be required reading. We've got on our posters marching to Parliament too. What I've just given is just one or part of one chapter in the rise of the gay GB and the pink inquisition. Our Lord Jesus Christ exposed and condemned hypocrisy, most famously in a Sermon on the Mount. Probably the one verse that almost anyone can quote is, judge not, that you be not judged. That comes from the Sermon on the Mount. Could they please read the whole of the Sermon on the Mount, the whole context? Matthew 23 records our Lord's devastating condemnation of hypocrisy. All the works they do to be seen by men. Woe to you, hypocrites. For you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow in those who are entering to go in. Hypocrites. For you devour widows' houses. Hypocrites. You make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves. Woe to you, blind guides, fools and blind. Blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel, full of extortion and self-indulgence. Woe to you, hypocrites. For you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you're full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Serpents, brood of vipers, how can you escape the condemnation of hell? That's a short, abbreviated selection from Matthew 23. The whole of Matthew 23 is devastating. And if you've seen the Matthew film, that whole scene, which, by the way, was filmed on the steps of Rhodes Memorial, it's extraordinary. One sequence, because every word of Matthew 23 is given. There's only one Jesus film, and that's Matthew, that actually has that whole sermon. And it's actually so relentless, you just feel like punched drunk at the end of it. Nobody has ever condemned hypocrisy as completely and as effectively as our Lord Jesus Christ. No one hates hypocrisy more than God. God clearly demands honesty and sincerity. Our yes must be yes, and our no must be no. Anything else is from the evil one. Hypocrisy is consistently condemned throughout Scripture. And for that matter, what about the people who claim to be for our safety, like the TSA in America? There are, of course, medical hypocrites and charlatans who violate the Hippocratic Oath to never give an abortifacient to a pregnant woman, nor to do anything to harm a patient. There are innumerable scandals of organ harvesting from prisoners in China to provide kidneys, livers, hearts for transplant to patients willing to pay enough. You know, if you need a transplant, you can fly to China, and if you've got enough money, they'll give you whatever you need, the right thing. They'll just whip it out of somebody in one of their concentration camps, probably a Christian. They don't bother to sew up the donor because that person's not exactly a willing partaker to this. He's just there for organ harvesting. They do that thousands of times a year. Of course, there are people from overseas who might not ask questions about where this donor's coming from or where they're getting this kidney and so on. But this is happening in the world today. There are doctors who kill babies through abortion. When I use the word doctors, I think inverted commas and quote marks is needed. They're not real doctors. They're abortionists. We know that a baby is a baby, is a person, no matter how small. And yet our society is full of these kind of same-day abortion adverts. More than 1.7 million babies have been killed by abortion since it was legalized by Nelson Mandela, 1st of February, 1997. There are doctors who kill old people through euthanasia. Now, in our family, for the last 10 and a half years, we've been fighting cancer. My wife, Lenora, is a cancer survivor, and so I didn't know much about cancer when we started. I didn't know one person who had cancer before Lenora got cancer. Now we know a whole community. And I discovered what a cancer is. A cancer is a cell that doesn't contribute to the health of the body, but it breaks down the health of the body. That's why I started to write, whenever I wrote about the government or ANC, I'd write small c, capital A-N-C, and small E-R, to remind people that we've got a cancer government. They're a bunch of parasites. They produce nothing but infection and corruption. They do nothing for the society. They just destroy the whole body. Just like a cancer works its way through the body until the body kills itself. That's what a cancer is. A cancer is on a mission to destroy the health of the body. And that's what, and the middle letters of cancer is ANC. But I've discovered other things since we got involved in cancer. There's books such as The Compassionate Oncologist, which points out that oncologists are really shooting in the dark. What are they offering you? Well, mutilation, poisoning, toxins, and radiation. They want to burn, radiate, or mutilate you. And it's basically shooting in the dark, because the basic goal is hoping that you will die of chemotherapy before the cancer gets hold of you. And according to oncologists, and I've heard this in their surgeries, success for chemotherapy is that the patient's still alive 5 years after treatment. not cancer-free, not healthy, just alive 5 years later. I don't think that's success at all. In fact, chemotherapy's got such a low success rate, it's below the 20%. I don't think anyone would think that's a success rate if you're thinking of a pass rate for a brain surgeon or air traffic controller or something like that. But somehow when it comes to oncology, their stands are so low. So my wife is a mega exhibit A success story for them because she's still alive 10 and a half years later. And yet, what are they doing? They're breaking down the whole health of the body. It gets worse than that. I mean, you see the warnings and the caution signs on this, that here's the person with all kinds of protective gear as they rig it up to put this stuff in your wife's veins. Now, you can't allow it to fall on your skin. It's going to burn your skin, but they're going to shove it to your veins. Over 80% of oncologists surveyed would not use chemotherapy on themselves or their families if they were diagnosed with cancer because chemotherapy is too toxic. But they prescribe it to others. When we went in, our oncologist had this paper that my wife had to sign. I took the clipboard and first got to sign. The oncologist has explained the dangers of taking chemotherapy. Yes. Doctors described the danger of not taking chemotherapy. Yes. Third one, doctors explained the alternatives to taking chemotherapy. I said, have you shared any alternatives to taking chemotherapy? No, she said, I don't know any and I've never looked into it. Yeah. This is an oncologist. Their life is dealing with cancer. Never looked at, well, we can't sign this one. Well, of course, you can imagine why I've not been allowed to go back there. But the point is, how dare they do this? Then you get this doctor, so-called, who was found to have made $35 million out of giving chemotherapy to over 500 patients who weren't sick with cancer. The best cancer care anywhere. This man ran this place, Dr. Farid Fata. He ran the Michigan Hematology Oncology Clinic, for want of a better name, and he managed to get millions out of prescribing chemotherapy to people who didn't even have cancer. People died. 550 patients were given chemotherapy and other life-destroying things, teeth falling out, hair falling out, health destroyed, bones getting brittle, and they didn't even have cancer. He was just doing it to get money. Do you know why? Because in oncology, if you prescribe chemotherapy, the company that provides, I don't want to call them a medical company, the company that provides chemotherapy provides financial kickback to the doctor for prescribing it. It's like in America today, if you say that you've got, maybe Britain too, if a hospital reports that they had a COVID death, they get more money from the state. I'm told it's roughly $14,000 you'll get for every patient who dies of COVID. It could be, and it's been proven, heart attacks, strokes, car accidents, COVID death. Fell from high building, COVID death. Wife shoots husband, COVID death. After all, we're in lockdown. And it comes to like this sort of thing. And unfortunately, it's not a joke. They've done that because they've incentivized that everyone dies of COVID, you're going to get more money from World Health Organization, government, and so on. So in oncology, you get money, big-time money, for prescribing chemotherapy. Now, isn't that a conflict of interest? It's just, and this man made millions out of people ruining people's lives. And then, of course, you think of those medical hypocrites like Fauci who say that it's okay to pack a plane, every single seat packed full, but you can't go to church because that's not good for your health. It's okay to go to the casino, and of course, abortion clinics and bottle stores are essential, but churches are not essential. And they are so concerned for your health. I mean, isn't it nice to know that you're sick till proven healthy? And what is this preparing people for? Like aiming a laser gun type substance at a person's forehead? Yep, it's not a good idea. And idolatry, talk about hypocrites. Right now, we've got one of the worst tyrannies in the history of mankind taking place, being led by the World Health Organization, or should I call it the Wuhan Health Organization. Medical hypocrites are being used as tools, knowingly or unknowingly, for communist, globalist, New World Order goals. And then you've got this Bill Gates character who says he wants to depopulate the world, bring it from 7 billion down to under 1 billion, preferably under 100 million, but he wants to save everyone's lives with his vaccines. I just see a bit of a conflict of interest here. And he's talking about depopulation through forced vaccination, and it's been proven. In Kenya, they had a vast amount of women who were vaccinated who all sterilized at the same time by the same vaccination. There is a lot of belief that these vaccinations have sterilizing agents in them. Huge amount of evidence of that, not to mention nanochips and that stuff. But okay, if one death out of 10,000 corona cases can shut down a country, then shouldn't one death out of 10,000 vaccinations shut down the program? And yet, you're more likely to die of the vaccination than you are of COVID. Imagine a vaccine so safe you have to be threatened to take it, and for a disease so deadly you have to be tested to know that you have it. Robert Kennedy Jr. has said, and he runs the Children's Health Defense, which is an excellent site to go on, governments love pandemics. They love pandemics for the same reason they love war. It gives them the ability to impose controls on a population that the population would never otherwise accept, creating institutions and mechanisms for orchestrating and imposing obedience. The COVID lockdowns have proven to be a cover for colossal corruption and for communist centralization control. They have suffocated and starved and murdered so much of the economy. However, none of us should allow the presence of tens of thousands of hypocrites in the medical profession to stop us from going to trust the doctors and dentists when we're ill. Do you know, statistically in America, they say every year, at least 114,000 people die from medical malpractice. That's a lot more than die from car accidents, gun violence, suicides, drownings, and all that combined. Medical malpractice, there's a reason why there's cemeteries built outside hospitals. As they say, a teacher's mistake has failed, a plumber's mistake is charged, a prince's mistake is multiplied, a doctor's mistake is buried. There are many counterfeit banknotes, but that doesn't stop any of us from using genuine notes. Yep, remember there's a lot of counterfeit 200 rand notes out at one time? I don't think anyone would refuse a 200 rand note, though, if it was genuine. You've heard the reports of hamburgers contaminated with, amongst other things, the E. coli virus, but people still want real burgers. The church is not perfect, but Jesus Christ is perfect. Jesus Christ is probably the only person who's ever perfectly lived what he preached. He said what he meant. He meant what he said. He did all that he promised. He perfectly lived up to God's standards of righteousness. You can point out many failings. You can even point out frauds in the established church. However, nobody could ever point out any such failure or fraud in our Lord Jesus Christ. And so if we're on the streets and somebody's saying, what about the frauds in the church? You could just take the shortcut to, there are frauds in the church. But I'm not here preaching a church. I'm talking about a relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Can you point out any fraud or failure in Jesus Christ? He's the one we're talking about. Not asking you to follow me, not asking you to follow the Pope or any church denomination. Salvation is in Jesus Christ alone. He's the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father but by him. What failing can you point out in Jesus Christ? And you know, in all my years, I've never found anyone who's pointed out a failing in Jesus Christ. They can point out failings all over the place, but he's the one we are meant to be focused on. Typically, hypocrisy in the church is used as an excuse for not repenting of our sins or surrendering our lives to Christ. By pointing out the sins of others, we try to justify our own sins. So just remembering in my own family, my father, after he had his first heart attack, he came home quite irate over the doctor told him he's got to give up smoking. He said, and the doctor is telling me this. He's sitting behind the desk smoking a cigarette while he tells me, I've got to give up smoking. He said, it's going to kill you. And I remember, I mean, I was only about 10 years old, and so I said, but Dad, it's your life. I mean, no, but he was smoking. Well, do you know that the average person in America lives up to 74 years? The average doctor in America dies at 54 years. So doctors, typically medical doctors, die a lot younger than their patients, which makes you think. I mean, My wife had a favorite tape she used to pass around called Dead Doctors Don't Lie, speaking about basically how much of what they call healthcare is actually sick care, and that real healthcare is eating healthily, good diet, good exercise, positive attitude, fresh water, clean air, that sort of thing, you know, like not denying yourself oxygen. And it's extraordinary how unhealthy many doctors are. So again, it's like the hypocrites. You can look at them, as Jesus said, don't do what the hypocrites do. But sometimes they might say things that are from the law of Moses that you can do what they say, but don't do what they do. And we mustn't try and justify our disobedience to God by looking at the failures of others. It still needs to be pointed out, though, that not everyone who attends church services is a real Christian. Many have no saving knowledge of Christ. The true church of Christ consists of born-again believers regenerated by the Holy Spirit. By definition, a Christian has to admit that he's a sinner and not good enough for heaven. You cannot be a true Christian unless you recognize that I am a hell-deserving sinner. I am not good. God alone is good. Depravity of man, holiness of God, the blood of Christ alone for the salvation of anyone. If you don't recognize that, you're not a real Christian. So no Christian could claim to be perfect. If he claims to be perfect, he's not a Christian. He's denied the faith. By virtue of being a Christian, you have to acknowledge your sinfulness and your depravity, that you deserve the wrath of God in hell. In fact, what is the Lord's Prayer? Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. You cannot be a Christian if you don't do that. The Christian church requires a public acknowledgement of sin as a precondition for membership. The very ordinances of the church make this clear. Baptism is for the forgiveness of sins, symbolizing burial and resurrection, being born again. The Lord's Supper reinforces this, emphasizing that we are sinners needing God's mercy and we need salvation by blood atonement. The Lord's Prayer includes a petition to forgive us our sins. The Apostle Creed includes the forgiveness of sins. The regular reading of the Ten Commandments in our church reminds us of God's standards, and it reminds us how we have failed. The general supplication, other aspects of church liturgy emphasize the public acknowledgement of sin and pleas for God's mercy. The church has never claimed to be a fellowship of people. That would be hypocritical. The church is a fellowship of sinners who acknowledge their complete dependence upon the mercy of their almighty Savior to forgive and transform. That's what grace means, God's riches at Christ's expense, grace. The Apostle Paul claimed, I am the worst of sinners. Authentic Christians claim to be so bad that they deserve to be sentenced to hell forever. John Newton's popular hymn begins with, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Which is why Todd Friel's radio and TV ministry is entitled Wretched. And by the way, the code to accessing the web is really wretched. It may be a good thing that the hypocrites in church, they might hear the gospel and repent of the hypocrisy and be saved. We don't criticize hospitals for being full of sick people. That's exactly what hospitals were built for. Nowhere will you find more consistent condemnation of hypocrisy than in the Bible. No one condemned hypocrisy more effectively than Jesus Christ, and no one lived a more sincere and righteous life than Jesus Christ. It is therefore not logical to use the existence of hypocrites in the church as an excuse to reject Jesus Christ. No one could ever accuse our Lord Jesus Christ of being a hypocrite. If you allow a hypocrite to come between you and God, then the hypocrite is closer to God than you are. And by the way, remember this parable Jesus said, two men went up to the temple to pray. The one was a tax collector and the other a Pharisee. And the Pharisee said, I thank you, God, I'm not like other men. I fast twice a week. I give 1/10 of my income. I'm not like that tax collector over there. And the tax collector couldn't even lift his head towards heaven. He could just beat his chest saying, God, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. I've read that passage to Muslims in particular frequently and said, now which was the man right with God? And they always say, well, religious leader, of course. Now identify with the Pharisees, he's a good religious man. Say, but that's not what Jesus said. Look, and you get them reading the Bible. And they're shocked. Jesus said he didn't even hear the prayer. He wouldn't receive it. The man prayed to himself. He prayed to himself, I thank you, God, I'm not like other men. God hears the prayer of the one who says, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. If you boycott church because you hate hypocrisy, you could end up spending all eternity with all the hypocrites in hell. There's a lot of hypocrisy in this world. Islam claims to be a peaceful and tolerant religion, while many of its members openly declare jihad. They issue death threats, murder. They mutilate vast amounts of people in the name of their religion. Newspaper editors claim to stand for freedom of speech while editing, censoring pro-life obituaries. We are not allowed to put our pro-life obituaries in the Argus or the Cape Times because they censor pro-life opinion, even for paid advertisements in their obituary columns in the classifieds. And so they normally ignore our marches to Parliament and ignore the fact that abortion stops a beating heart and that abortion is murder. Abortion is a national sin. How can you tell when the truth is being told? Well, when Facebook blocks it, when Twitter deletes it, when Google hides it, when YouTube bans it, when the media censors it, and when your government forbids it, then you can be pretty sure that's the truth. Why is there so much censorship? Truth does not fear investigation. By the way, that you can just tell the difference, these are protests. That's a riot. According to US media, anyway. And now, prove you're not a robot, select all the squares showing a peaceful protest. So, Minneapolis Council moves to defund the police, establish a holistic public safety force. The Minneapolis violence surges, police officers leave the department drove. Minneapolis City Council, alarmed by surging crime months after voting to defund the police, asks where are the police, and so they would like a redo on the refunding the police report, and now they're spending $6.4 million to recruit more police officers to Minneapolis. Who could have seen this coming? I mean, wow, what a surprise. Defunding police doesn't work. And by the way, the Democrats, who've been opposing putting walls to protect America's borders, are putting walls up, barriers, to protect their Congress from the very people that claim voted for them. Communists condemn oppression and uphold themselves as liberators and champions of justice, while communist regimes have been the most oppressive in all of history. No other regimes have imprisoned as many people, executed as many victims, deliberately starved so many millions, erected such huge institutions of oppression, employed more secret police, 3 million in the KGB at the height of the Cold War, imprisoning whole nations behind an iron curtain of barbed wire, minefields, electric fencing, and machine gun towers. The Iron Lady, Margaret Thatcher, had this to say about the Berlin Wall. The Berlin Wall stands as concrete proof that when people have a choice, they choose to be free. Freedom has its problems, but we have never needed to build walls to keep our people in. Margaret Thatcher had a way with words. Just in the 20th century, over 160 million people were killed by communist governments, even while they claimed to be devoted to world peace. There's never been a more savage, violent, butchering, anti-Christian century in the history of the world than the 20th century. More Christians were murdered for their faith in the 20th century than all other 19 centuries combined, and in the name of communism almost always. Hypocrisy is voting against gun ownership and the right to self-defense in your home while being surrounded by armed security 24/7. The African Union continually talks about democracy and human rights, while a vast majority of government leaders represent that the organization of the African Unity are dictators. How on earth did this character earn those medals? And who made him president for life and the emperor of the Central African Empire? I mean, this man was chairman of the African Unity. Can you believe the hypocrisy of these people? Or take Charles Taylor. Charles Taylor was a freedom fighter who tortured his people and hacked off their hands for trying to vote against him and had his own blood diamonds. He was an American Negro who went to Africa to take over and oppress and exploit the local black people for the benefit of American Negroes, where only American Negroes of American descent could rule and reign, and they were only 10% of the population, while they oppressed and exploited and colonized the 90% of black Africans who lived there. And this Charles Taylor, by the way, was welcomed to our Critiscure state by Nelson Mandela when he was president. And he gave a bunch of diamonds, uncut diamonds, blood diamonds, to Naomi Taylor for services rendered. And Naomi Taylor handed those diamonds over to Nelson Mandela for the Nelson Mandela Children's Fund. She testified to this at Charles Taylor's trial at the Hague International Court of Justice. Problem is, there's no record of Nelson Mandela ever declaring or giving to the Nelson Mandela Children's Fund these diamonds or any equivalent value of that. Those are blood diamonds, and that was mentioned at the International Court of Justice in The Hague, and somehow it wasn't a scandal that our newspapers picked up. It's like, I mean, crickets. Nothing to see here. Many in our own country condemn racism while consistently supporting the most racist regime on the continent, Robert Mugabe's ZANU-PF in Zimbabwe. What about the people who claim to be Greens while supporting mass murdering governments like that in Zimbabwe, using helicopter gunships to murder elephants to harvest their ivory? And China, who, see no evil, hear no evil, and so on, is able to keep dictators in power all over Africa by them selling their minerals and forests and so on, and rights to just about everything in China to them. What about Mugabe's blood diamonds? By the way, according to the Kimberley Protocol, Mugabe's Zimbabwe diamonds are not blood diamonds, because their definition of a blood diamond is when it's extracted by a revolutionary, terrorist, or rebel group. As long as by government, it's not a blood diamond. So because Mugabe is recognized by the UN as a government, what comes out of Marang diamond fields, even though it involves a lot of violence, is not a blood diamond. So Zimbabwe diamonds can be sold on the open market, because nothing tells a young girl that you love her more than a blood diamond. So the Presidential Guard comes in, that's their beret color, sent them in to machine gun the people in Marang and to enlist them into involuntary gangs to have to harvest these diamonds for China. This is real money. You could buy a lot with a dollar. Back in 1977, a dollar could buy you a full steak dinner in Salisbury at a good restaurant. That's a $100 trillion note. That's not worth what 100 rand in South Africa is worth now. It's not worth what dollar, not even worth what a rand used to be. In fact, they'd already taken 16 zeros off the currency by 2008 when they brought in the $100 trillion note. This could buy not even a half a loaf of bread. Isn't communism nice? 1 quintillion, 72 trillion, 580 billion and $3 million only? This month's special, no fuel. Now, I mention this because when you're talking about hypocrisy, nobody does hypocrisy better than the communist. This is progress. This is a new Toyota Corolla. And your, yes, new Bucky. And if you want hot water, no wonder half the population of Zimbabwe voted with their feet by escaping from the workers' paradise and liberation. Humanists claim to stand for tolerance, yet they're thoroughly intolerant to evangelical Christians. Very intolerant if anyone disagrees with them. Humanists champion diversity and pluralism, but they work steadfastly to exclude Christian views from the public sphere. Teachers who believe in the sanctity of marriage are expected to go against their own conscience to teach their students situation ethics and perverse alternative lifestyles. Evolutionists who claim to be for freedom of speech regularly ban any dissension or discussion. And they fire those scientists who question Darwinian evolution or who seem to consider intelligent design. Atheism is the belief that there was nothing and nothing happened to nothing. And then nothing magically exploded for no reason, creating everything, and then a bunch of everything magically rearranged itself for no reason whatsoever into self-replicating bits which turned to dinosaurs. And these people accuse us of being unscientific. And you've got characters like Richard Dawkins saying there's probably no God, now stop worrying and enjoy your life. Well, two can play at that game. We can also rent buses and say the fool has said in his heart there's no God. There's definitely a God, so join a Christian party, enjoy your life. The fact is, humanism is the most destructive religion of all time and the most intolerant. Even amidst the original 12 disciples of Christ, there was a Judas, the apostle who became an apostate. He kissed the door to heaven and entered hell that very day. The ultimate hypocrite and traitor was Judas. Yet that has not stopped millions of Christians throughout the ages from finding grace and peace at the foot of the cross. If you've been let down or betrayed by a professing Christian, do not let that come between you and God. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through him. Many people despise and reject what they think is Christianity, when they're merely rejecting the hypocritical churchianity that our Lord Jesus Christ himself rejected and condemned. Don't let the counterfeit and the false keep you away from the genuine and the real. There's one way. Any questions? Any comments? Answering skeptics. I have the notes by the door, and you'll also see the latest of the Gospel Defense League letters, which is on conscience kept to the Word of God. Questions, comments, complaints or criticisms?
I found it very interesting with the section also of the Roman Catholic Church. When I became reborn, I did a 5-year study on Catholicism, me being Catholic as well. I ended up going to Rome, to the Vatican, in 2002. And when you were speaking of the mafia and gay mafia and everything, one thing that I discovered there, that, which I never knew before, is as I was taking photographs around the Vatican, there was mansions, like billionaires staying there. I mean, I still remember looking into this long entrance, and there's Lamborghinis and a big waterfall and just mansions inside. And I wanted to take a photo. As I lifted my camera, these guys in black approached me with machine guns and told me, go. So I spoke to the local guys that I lived with, and they actually told me, but don't you know that the mafia, that we know as the mafia, is being paid by the Vatican to protect them? And they've actually, all those mansions are security being paid for by the Vatican.
Sure.
So the mafia, it goes much further than just the gay mafia. It's a real mafia that trades in human trafficking.
They both come from Italy,
That was an eye-opener for me, because I never realized it, and you don't really read about it.
Sure. Interesting. Other questions, comments, responses?
I read actually a day or two ago about the present Pope. He says that if we don't change our ways about climate change, God's going to punish us with another flood. So clearly, I mean, I remember reading in the Bible that God apparently promised not to send another flood again. But I want to ask you...
He's got other means.
But I wanted to ask you, the Pope John Paul, I know you were taking Bibles into Eastern Europe, and I know he was quite involved with Solidarity in Poland and trying to get rid of communism and working with the West. What's your opinion on him?
I do respect Pope John Paul for that. He was a very strong, consistent anti-communist. He certainly helped Poland Solidarity, and I know that he and Ronald Reagan had an understanding on how they were working together to win the Cold War that comes out in the Face of Evil, a video documentary on Ronald Reagan's life. So John Paul, while I wouldn't agree with the theology, he was an ally in fighting communism, and he did a good job in that. He grew up in Poland, of course. He understood what communism was.
I saw a movie a while back called Spotlight, and it was against Hollywood, so you always have to realize, you know, it's probably not all truth, it's 100% truth, but they were newspaper editors and then journalists were working on exposing the enormity of the Catholic abuses in the Catholic Church. And in Boston alone, there was just unbelievable, like, revelations continually, and they were getting ready to break the biggest story ever. And you'll never guess what happened, though. September 11 happened, and the journalists had to pull it because they realized it would be on page 9. There was so much noise about September 11th, you know, the attacks. I mean, it had to be shelved, basically. And so this, but I do find it kind of funny and coincidental that we started to uncover Ghislaine Maxwell and Epstein, Weinstein, a couple of others in Hollywood and around. And there was this pandemic that came out of the Far East all of a sudden.
And knocked it off the front page and every other page.
You know, to me, this is too much. And I don't think you need to watch Hollywood movies anymore because we've seen one. And it's the same producers orchestrating all of it. It's the same people as far as I'm concerned. Because I can so if you want to be entertained, I mean, you just watch the world around us.
Truth is more incredible than fiction.
Yeah.
It's a fact. That's so true. Whatever happened to all the Weinstein and Jeffrey Epstein scandals? And so much was going to come out, and then suddenly...
And Maxwell is on trial. Oh, but it's not a normal trial. It's by Zoom. You know, like, she could be in Israel and be kicking up having margaritas with Epstein.
That's right.
He's still alive. I honestly think that this is totally possible.
You don't think Jeffrey Epstein killed himself?
It's very interesting how a lot of the same people involved with the entire Epstein story are the same people that are pushing this lockdown COVID narrative. I mean, Bill Gates was a big part of this, and there's a couple of others too, big names that are pushing the same narrative, and it's quite interesting.
It's important to have these facts. When you are involved in evangelistic discussions, you will have people throw things. And of course, there are people ready to throw at you a whole lot of things. And Hollywood and the media and education system, so-called, are giving you mountains of ammunition to throw at the church and at the gospel and God and all that. And when you've got some facts to throw back at them, it often just flounders them, derails them, because they're not used to the other side. Because in the Hollywood movies, it's quite simple. They make something, what about the Crusades? And what about the Inquisition? And the Christians cowered. So they never know that there's a comeback possible. And so when you know the facts, and, you know, if they want to bring out hypocrisy, outstanding. We'd love to talk about hypocrisy. And do they think they are built on a rock here? They're built on sand. It does not take much to point out that the very people trying to accuse the church of hypocrisy are riddled with hypocrisy themselves. So some of these facts I've shared are not very pleasant, but the fact is, these are facts. Facts are stubborn things, and facts don't care about your feelings.
No, I think what you said was so important as well, is that we have to tread quite a balanced, well, it's not really a balanced line, we have to keep the line focused on Jesus and ensure that we don't get distracted by the arguments and the quarrelling around what is happening around us to the point where that focus becomes diluted and lukewarm. Because it is, you know, when you do engage in that, it is very easy, because like you've presented, I mean, it's not just the world around us, it's generations upon generations upon generations. This is a war that began at the beginning of time, and it's only going to end at the end of time, Earth's time. So it is really, I mean, I as a person who does think, you know, having cut off from all that information just to focus on the cross and to focus on that quiet time, because the noise is getting so intense.
Yes.
That discipline of that secret place with the Lord is more important than ever. Thank you for bringing that up as a first point of reference.
Now, of course, it's good to have the answers and to know how to answer skeptics. Sometimes the right answers may not come to your mind at first. Don't be derailed by people coming out with whatever objections. Because, you know, just in the time I've been a Christian, I remember that newspapers bring out this big thing of, you know, they discovered the ruins of Jericho and they found that they didn't have any walls. And a few months later, someone finds out, oh, actually, that wasn't Jericho. They've found Jericho did have massive walls and they actually did fall forward. But, you know, the first one is put on the front page. In other words, maybe page 16. That's back when they still got some report. But the amount of times that, you know, butter's bad for you. You've got to eat margarine. This is back in 1970. A few years later, actually, margarine's worse for you. Better go back to butter. And so it is. Don't eat eggs. Eggs cause cancer and so on. Next thing, actually, eggs are very healthy for you. You should go. So there's no end of rubbish that comes along, on and on. I remember when the headlines in the Cape Times was, life discovered on Mars. Do you know what that life discovered on Mars was? Somebody found some bacteria on a rock that had been brought back from Mars, and later, after the headlines of excitement, they found life on Mars was some bacteria on a rock. Turned out it was probably some moss that grew in a cupboard of where they stored the rock. It's just probably Earth, so discovered it wasn't life from Mars at all. But how many people heard the explanation later. But the headlines, life discovered Mars, that was, it wasn't later, you know, we lied to you last week. They don't put that in the top headlines, and this is just common. But it's so with the attacks on a church. And for example, I remember this one. How about this? This is, you know, grave of Jesus discovered, body of Jesus discovered in grave, in Nazareth, no less. And so they found a grave of someone called Jesus. But of course, in fact, it is Joshua, which is a very common name over there. And in fact, you can find people in Mexico today who call Jesus. But to find a grave of someone who, but it was the wrong time, wrong century, wrong place, and besides which, with his wife, no less. So the whole thing fell apart, but the headlines, they first come up with that. And time and again, they'll try and they prove this is wrong, or error found in the Bible, and then later on find, actually, it wasn't really an error. What they found was one Gnostic Gospels or something. And then remember when, well, Gnostic Gospels were a big thing. Then there was the Da Vinci Code. There's no end of distractions. All over the years, you just keep hearing, they're throwing things. Now, hoping some mud's going to stick. And of course, in some people's minds, some of it might stick. But all these things are distractions. If you're in an army and you're in a war, you expect the enemy to throw mortars, rockets, and throw bullets at you. I mean, it happens. You're not meant to lose your mind and give up and join the other side. But a lot of Christians have lost their faith because they're reading the newspapers or watching TV or surfing the internet more than they're reading the Bible. And if they don't know real... So, for example, if you've ever got a problem on something like, science, disprove the Bible, or something like that, just go onto the Answers in Genesis website, see what Ken Ham's people have to say. They've got real professionals looking. They've heard these things multiple times before. They know the background story. They've got the facts and so on. And again, when a person says, did you know the Bible says this? Don't even have to respond, where is it? Find it, get there, read the chapter before and after, get it in context, and you've got the answer ready. Because you never need to panic. And again, if a person asks you a question and you don't know the answer, you can say, give me a day or two, I'll look into that and I'll get back to you. Because you don't have to know the answer to everything immediately. You can have confidence in God and in the Bible, and truth never fears investigation, and there's no problem taking time to investigate, see what others have said who've looked into this, and then get back to them. But the trouble is, what I've found is, when you're debating many of these people, few are honest, skeptical seekers. Most are looking for an excuse not to repent. And so if you found an answer to their serious problem that they had there, what they're going to do? They're just going to come up with the next one, and then the next one. And so sometimes you need to just do what Ray Comfort teachers want to do. Go for the conscience. I'll look into that question for you, but can I ask you a question? Would you consider yourself to be a good person? And how many of the Ten Commandments can you remember? Well, have you ever told a lie? Have you ever stolen anything? Have you ever hated someone? And when you go for the conscience, you bypass the intellectual arguments or excuses, and you go straight for the conscience. Most people still have a sliver of the conscience left, not totally seared, that they know there is a God and I'm not right with him. And then we can start to get something. We get people to think of eternity. But still, there are some good answers that can help clear away the, all the different smoke screens and distractions out there, and help people to find the way to the cross.